Have you ever wanted a quick fix of dopamine? Let's talk about it. Welcome back to the Reflection Room. I am so excited to share today about a topic that I've actually been thinking about over the last probably 48 hours. And believe it or not, interestingly enough, I've had a few conversations with people about this topic, but I haven't really called it or addressed it the way that I'm going to in this video. So it's just, I'm excited to share a little bit about what I've been thinking about. But so I don't know if this happens to any of you guys at all that are like working from home. So like working remotely, or even if you aren't working remotely and you work at a place where they unfortunately have you going back into the office, I'm sure that there's been like an increase even in the office, an increase of work meetings that are virtual. And I'm in a place right now in my career where just because of different factors, so because of where I'm located in relation to my offices and also because of like office spaces and things like that, offer a lot of my sessions virtually at this point. Most of them, all of them, actually. And anyways, my point is that I don't know if this happens to you guys, but it happens to me all the time where I find, now I'm paying attention to my clients. But you can't help but look at the little square in the corner, and I'm always having to fix my face, or I'm like looking at some frown lines that I'm starting to develop, or I am just looking at my posture, and it just kind of catches my attention quickly. And then of course, go back to focusing on our sessions or meetings or whatever it is that's going on in the moment. Please let me know that I am not the only one that does that. And I am not, I don't know, conceited in some way where I'm like finding myself looking at myself. Anyways, my point is that I feel like ever since COVID, and no matter really where one is located, there were a lot of changes that were made during COVID time where a lot of people were forced to stay home and hold a lot more meetings virtually. And that happened to us in our field where we held a lot of our sessions virtually. And I feel like with that wave, so of staying home, working from home, there was almost a relaxation that occurred in our wardrobe or our physical appearance, like how we present ourselves in these meetings, how we show up for me in sessions with my clients. And it was almost like comfort was the thing that was like the driving force that decided what we wore that day for work as we worked from home. And so you would hear a lot of people talking about sweatpants or yoga pants or athletic wear, anything that was comfortable that allowed you to look semi-presentable on screen, at least maybe from here up, but still allowed you to get your job done. And I feel like there was a purpose in that. It worked for that specific season where there were so many other things going on in our lives that were obviously more important, took priority, a lot of changes, a lot of transitions, a lot of adjusting. And so it was almost like we found ourselves trying to hold on to really any sense of comfort or relaxation or familiarity that we can find. And I think a lot of us found it in our wardrobe. Now, I say all of that to say that I don't know if I'm the only one, so hopefully that's not the case, but I feel like some of that has still continued to carry over into this post-COVID, post-pandemic season where we find ourselves now still wearing clothes that are comfortable or relaxing, and I've even seen recently, it might be my algorithm, but I have actually seen a lot of ads like popping up with, for example, I don't own any, but, and no hate for those that do, but like those that look like jeans or dress pants, but they're actually the material of like yoga pants or sweats or whatever. So it's still a very appealing like market. Clearly there's a space for it. Otherwise they wouldn't really be creating this kind of wear, right? Now, okay, so fast forward, and I was at the nail place a few days ago, and I was getting my nails done, and I was looking to see what color I wanted to do. Clearly, I picked yellow. And for those who know me personally, I tend to wear like semi-muted clothes, but then my accessories tend to be a little bit more colorful. And so anyways, I was there, I picked a color, and the lady next to me, who was also getting her nails done, I don't know, she said to me, oh, that's a really pretty color. I think I also want that color. So anyways, it sparked a conversation, and it was really, it was nice to chat with someone and meet someone new. But it got me thinking about how something as simple as a color drew me to it, but then also sparked a conversation between me and this other lady. And it was a great interaction, very pleasant, very cheerful, very joyful. I enjoyed it. And it was a moment that I think maybe might not have happened had I chosen a black or brown or a neutral color. Anyways, I left that day, the nail place, and I enjoyed my conversation with her. She was a very sweet lady. But it got me thinking about this thing that we have grown to refer to as dopamine dressing. Now, to put on my therapist or, I don't know, professional hat for just a slight second. Dopamine is, for those of you that may not necessarily be as familiar with it, but it's a neurotransmitter that essentially just sends messages to the brain. And it's known as the neurotransmitter that's associated or related to feeling pleasant or a reward neurotransmitter, where it sparks messages for things that we find to be enjoyable or pleasant to experience, to be around, to see, to taste or eat, to touch. Anything that we find to be pleasant usually sparks an increase in dopamine for us internally. There is something that's called dopamine dressing. Now, this isn't something that has been, that there are peer reviews written on, I don't think, or something that a lot of research has been done on necessarily, but I think the concept is really cool and there's something to it, especially after a season like COVID that we have all really walked through and experienced. So I think it's an interesting topic to talk about a little bit. So the idea behind it is essentially that the dopamine and the dressing, where it's identifying clothes, textures, patterns, styles, colors that for us personally tend to produce dopamine or feelings of enjoyment or boosting our confidence or increasing our self-esteem or allowing us to feel just more ourselves in what we wear and the way that we present. And so oftentimes we'll hear dopamine associated with maybe some foods that we might eat or, for example, medication that we might take. But I love this twist on this idea of dopamine and being able to do something that doesn't necessarily require a lot of change or transition or adjustment or even doing something as big as possibly ingesting or taking a new medication that could potentially have a positive impact on our day-to-day lives. So the idea and the concept behind it is beginning to pick colors and textures and styles and just clothing and accessories that we find to allows us to feel comfortable and to feel more confident and to then naturally when we feel that way and we present that way and people respond to us in that way, then that increases our overall mood or increase, it gives us a burst of dopamine. There are three things that I actually wanted to quickly touch upon when it comes to dopamine dressing. And I thought that they would be really short, simple tips that as a mental health provider who also loves fashion and style that I would be able to provide this for someone who might be looking for a quick, simple, easy, fun, creative way to potentially boost and increase their mood. So one of the things I wanted to go over was making sure that when engaging in this thing that we refer to as dopamine dressing, that there's a personalized approach or an individual approach that is taken. So this concept of one size fits all, or because something is trending that we have to wear it, dopamine dressing, it does not at all follow that approach or track. The idea behind it is finding personalized pieces that we really feel comfortable wearing, and not only feel comfortable, but allows us to feel more ourselves, more authentic, and therefore we present ourselves in a better way when we're engaging with the outside world. Now, when I say personalized, I don't only mean things that catch our eye that we find to be really pretty or stylish or just really cool pieces, but also pieces that can be very meaningful to us. So for example, there's this necklace that I oftentimes, it's somewhere in here, wear, and it's a very simple necklace. There's not much to it, but when I do wear it and I layer it with some other jewelry, there's significance behind it with who gave it to me and why it was gifted to me. And so I think that when you think about a personalized approach to dopamine dressing, the idea is not only finding things that you might find to be stylish or cool or trendy for your personal closet, but even incorporating pieces that are maybe significant, that are one of a kind, that can't be found in any large department store, that is very significant, very meaningful for you. So that's the first tip I would say, is making sure that pieces that are chosen are personally chosen to fit your personal style and not because they're necessarily trending in our world. So the second tip that I would say is to really start small and to then begin to grow gradually. Now, I know for some people, I am not necessarily one of those, but I know for some people, there is absolutely no problem with going out, picking up an outfit that's bright pink and color blocking it and wearing it out to an event. And if that's you, then go for it. I think that's awesome. I wish I could. But for some of us, there's a level of comfort in knowing that we can step out of our comfort zone a little bit, but we don't necessarily have to take these big leaps and jumps. And so a few ways to be able to start small might include nail polish colors, or maybe there's a specific piece of jewelry, so like a bracelet or a ring that could be a pop of color, a color that you find to be very comfortable to wear, you feel really, really great in it. Sometimes makeup can be another form of starting small and then growing gradually. And so an example of that might be a nice color eyeshadow. Sometimes I will wear eyeliner under the eye. That's just different colors. So greens and purples and blues I find to be a cool little touch to add to my makeup. So starting small, seeing how you feel, and even starting with small things like accessories that, like, when you're out there and you're like, oh, I don't know how I feel now. I left the house and I thought it was a good idea, but now I don't necessarily feel comfortable with having this. Accessories are so simple to just take off, put away, and not have to worry about. And then as you become a little bit more comfortable and realizing what your style is or those elements that you feel the most comfortable in, then you can begin to grow your wardrobe. So that was the first one. First one was personalized approach. Second one was starting small and then gradually growing to larger ways of stepping out of your comfort zone. And then the third one I would say is ensuring that dopamine dressing. So this idea of dopamine dressing, another way they call it, there's another word for it. I think it's enclosed cognition. I think it's a phrase that has been used before, but it's a similar concept. So I think the other thing that I would also recommend is this, is recognizing that these kinds of tools or techniques or tips are actually not supposed to be a way to maybe take the place of therapy or treatment or working with any other mental health provider, but just realizing that they could be complementary tools that one can use in order to help boost one's overall mood. So I thought that this was a really interesting, I've always thought this was an interesting topic. And when I had that conversation with my neighbor in the nail salon, it really got me thinking about how something as simple as a pop of color on one's nails can really lead to not only an increase in one's overall confidence, but then even have a ripple effect on those around us. If you're interested in learning a little bit more about this concept, definitely comment below, because there's so much much to this idea. And in fact, there is a little niche to our field that is actually called color psychology. And so we could even go into detail a little bit more about the specific colors that tend to generate specific emotions in us. And we could really go down a rabbit trail with that, because there's so much that's involved in that. Not only psychology, but even marketing and shopping and the ways that stores are sometimes set up. And yeah, I can go on and on. If you have any questions or want any more information on the specific concept, definitely feel free to comment below, and also share with us too in your comments how this specific concept can help you in the near future, or even if you've used it before and what your experience has been like. Thanks so much for listening, and hopefully we'll get to connect soon. And as always, keep reflecting.